We are recording.
All right, so this is a meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority Investment Advisory Committee. It's Wednesday, November 15 at 10:30, and I think we have a quorum. Do we have any guests? No, there are no guests. Any modifications to the agenda? No. And have we received any public comment?
We have not.
All right. Has everybody had a chance to look at the draft meeting minutes from February 26, 2021 to refresh your recollection?
I did glance at them and I'll move them.
Thank you. I did as well.
Jim, you got a second?
Give him a minute. Can you second Jim after you've had a chance to look at it? Because we need you to second the motion.
Yeah. Cheers.
Can the chair second?
I think so.
All right. Well, then I will second it because I did look at it. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, part of our job here today is annual review of the Investment Advisory Committee Charter, which is attached, and I have looked at that to review my recollection. I would say that since our investments are static, which they need to be at this time. There's a lot of process here that doesn't, to my mind, actually apply very well. And I think if not for some of the overall changes that we're talking about coming our way, we might be looking at changing the charter. But my take on it is the best thing to do is to leave it as it is until we come to that point. We do, but I really want to hear about anybody who has any ideas about their assessment of the adequacy of this charter.
I think you're right. I mean, what's in front of us probably doesn't warrant any change right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not sure what you'd change it to, frankly. I mean, the concept really of what we're doing is safety and liquidity are kind of the two overarching themes of the products we would use from an investment philosophy, and we're limited as a government authority on what we could actually do anyway.
Well, I would change it just a little bit to make it probably, if we're not doing anything that I would call investments other than very short-term kind of stuff, I'm not sure that we need to put a bunch of burden on, say, an executive director to let us know if there's any change. But on the other hand, maybe you're doing that when you give us these charts every month. So.
And there, I mean, as I recall, one of the investments is harder, a little bit more difficult to get
that. We're going to talk about that, yes. You guys, between SPIA and Prime.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Jim, any questions?
No, I mean,
okay.
At least we're getting some interest on money now.
Yes. we're in a good place at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I do not see that we have any proposed changes. And that being the case, I don't think we have anything on that item.
Perfect.
So, we'll stick with it the way it is now. The investment policy, same thing, that does need to be reviewed annually. So that is, where did it go?
Remind me, you know, this is broken down into two different, components of how it's being invested. But is the where it talks about the SPIA versus the Florida Prime.
What are the differences?
Yeah, remind me, there's a difference in yields because I'm assuming that the SPIA is just a much shorter.
Actually, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
SPIA is just kind of a barbell. Everything's inside of 2 years, so they have some short-term and they have some long-term money. And so obviously, as the Fed raised the rates as quickly as they did, SPIA's yields, we're still working from this fact that the yield curve's inverted.
So
and so the SPIA is behind, whereas the short-term money prime, which is overnight, that money, obviously the rates moved quickly. Yeah. It's unique. Historically, if you ever looked at it, SPIA, because it's a little bit longer term, would have better yield.
Yep.
It is inverted right now. We're going to get to some more things we're going to do to take advantage of that, given some what we have going on. But that's, and the other thing SPIA has, because it's longer term money, as Tom mentioned, there's a number of restrictions. I can't get it overnight.
Right.
I have to give them, I'm limited to 60%. I have to keep 60% of what I had in the last 3 months has to stay in there. Now you can ratchet that down over a period of time. And if you want to go in excess of that, you have to give them 6 months notice to close out the account or to take more than that drawdown limit.
So if rates stay level or go down, SPIA could be a higher yield because it's capturing some of those longer.
It's reinvesting at longer, at better rates, and whereas but remember, you've got now at 5 versus 2.
Yep.
It would take a year probably for those things to cross.
Got it. Okay.
And I still have the liquidity restrictions. That's via either way.
Okay, got it.
Or we still have. Sorry.
Okay. Anything else that's in the investment policy that, again, this is a pretty fulsome document for what we actually do, and that always makes me a little bit nervous because there's all kinds of stuff you're supposed to do that maybe don't exactly need doing, but I think under the present circumstances, this is...
We've reviewed it.
The practice would be, my understanding, Peggy could confirm, is that if you guys had suggestions to change it, we would forward those to the board for the board meeting to decide if they would approve those changes. Yeah. We wouldn't make the changes. Yeah. We would just make them.
And actually, I think we have to have legal review, too, when we do that, if I remember right.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
Didn't you revise this when we were...
My signature's on it,
2017.
Yeah,
I just saw it.
This is your policy.
It's really...
I love that she's questioning the policy that she created.
Well,
what kind of income?
No, and when you look at this, I mean, we have an investment advisor and we're interviewing them and we're not doing that. So we're not doing any of that. So shall we just keep the policy number 11-5, the investment policy, the same as it is?
Yes.
Any suggested changes?
And I think if things go the way we plan, we will need to modify all this, but not right away.
Right. That's what I think too. Okay, as to membership status, agenda item 8 suggests that we waive the lack of committee meetings for fiscal year 21-22 and 22-23. To the extent those meetings were required and were not held, I'd like to have a motion that we waive that and would state that there have been absolutely no changes during that period of time to any of the investments in terms of what we have done anyway.
We haven't changed this thing in 10 years.
Nor would we have in the last 24 months. We have changed.
I'll move that.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second it.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, Mr. Kramer, you want to talk about investment performance?
You guys all saw the documents just on the returns. Peggy had sent an update, I think, through September the other day. Again, what you're consistently seeing play out is what we talked about, just that the shorter-term maturities all of a sudden have the better yields. If there are any questions on that, on those yields or the performance, I'm happy to answer those.
We're all pretty familiar with that.
Good.
And we still have collectively about $1.2 million.
$1.5 million, $1.3 million.
Okay, that's good.
$1.3 million in the reserves. And it's right now, as of September, I should say, it was split pretty even. You could see there about 6.25, 6.50 each. In October, I moved 245,000 from SPIA into Prime for two reasons. One, Prime, I got daily liquidity. Second, of course, is the return is 5% versus 2%. That was also the max I could move. My expectation after the exec meeting tomorrow or the board meeting is to then go to SPIA and ask them to liquidate the balance all at once, which may take 6 months for them to allow it. They have up to 6 months to agree to that. Again, because they've tied those securities up in longer term maturities. The reason I want to do that is to pull that remaining 350 grand into Prime, where A, I get better return, B, I have instant liquidity. And that's the reason, if you guys noted at the back of your package, we had included the budget. And in the very bottom right corner of the budget, you see what our cash position is by September 30th of 2024, assuming we do not get sponsorships and grants, which we do not have any material leads on either one of those. You see us at the very bottom right of the budget, somewhere down there, it's 238,000, which is, means we will have eaten dramatically into all of those reserves. And so I need that all in a liquid place. And so that's why. But if I start now, I have plenty of time for that not to be an issue.
Now, I'm guessing that that's nothing we can, execs got to vote on that, right? Or do we
probably
recommend it?
Probably should have voted on what I moved it a couple of weeks ago. But again, I'm moving it from one account to the other of our existing accounts. I didn't move it to my account first. I moved it directly from you know, from our accounts to our accounts just to take advantage of the circumstances.
Right.
Probably, in hindsight, I should have done that 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I should have moved the money. It would have accomplished two things, right? I picked up 3 or 4% for 6 months, and I would have now, the drawdown, I would have been further along in my average trailing 3 months to pull faster down.
Well, you need to get a new crystal ball.
Well, yeah. I was visible 6 months ago. I should have done it. My mistake. I should have done it.
You know, I mean, I don't know what SPIA is really invested in, but I know some people are taking the hit because they make so much more interest through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they may want to get out and move.
Yeah, they may not find. I mean, and we,
they
we
may
pull,
give you the money quickly as well.
And when we, if you go back to early 2022, when we funded the balance, excuse me, of our commitment to the lab, like an extra $800,000 to get up to $1.6 million, Ron reached out to the SPIA folks. That's where he decided to take it for the same kind of reasons. And got an approval to go be above the 40% drawdown you're allowed, which was granted. And I don't believe it took 6 months. I think it took 90 days. They have the rights to take up to 6 months.
Right.
They may do this much quicker. Again, we are a tiny user of SPIA when you think about all the state and county agencies and local that are investing. When I was on the Investment Oversight Committee for Leon County, we had $50 million in it, okay?
Right.
I mean, or something like that, some crazy numbers in it. So it's different, and so we're probably a pain at $650,000 just the reporting side.
So again, do we need an action or?
No, I was just giving you an update on both of those.
I didn't think we did. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's the update. And Jim, I don't know how much you've talked to Michael or, you know, the rest of us have been doing all of these changes that are coming up, and at some point. You know, maybe now's the time to talk about it just a little bit, talk about the budget and the transition that's going to be happening here and why this really is going to look pretty different in the next year or so.
Yeah, as you know, maybe you don't know, and I'll make no assumptions. We're building a new lab over here, which was originally slated for about a $17 million project. It's going to be about $23. It's also going to cost $1 million a year to support and operate the lab, especially coming out of the ground with no tenants and all of the expenses that are fronted. In addition, maintaining the old buildings is just a dramatic exercise in buying new air conditioners. It turns out that's kind of half my job. And we are about 60% leased. Recognizing both of those things, the board has realized we do not have the funding to support this thing where it needs to be supported, and most importantly, to make sure the lab is in a position to be successful, because we're really going as slowly as we can in many ways right now on the lab just to preserve capital. And so we've worked with FSU and with FAMU, and those guys are going to really fully integrate into the park. And what I mean by that is if you go back to 1991, FSU, we reassigned 23.5 acres for the mag lab to FSU. In 2013, we assigned 58 to FSU, 22 to FAMU. Remember, this all started with a 200-acre parcel that was originally FSU's, and so we are down to a much smaller entity. We're going to reassign the balance is the exercise we're working on right now to FSU. The RDA, this entity that's focused on economic development and helping startup companies and entrepreneurs develop their business, hopefully will be housed in the new lab and we'll be able to continue. One of the key points to that is the sooner we get our deal done with Florida State and with FAM, the more money we have and liquidity to survive as an entity. We get no tax revenues. It was only rents, but the last couple of years of rents were around $600,000 and our operating expenses are $800 or $900. So we're bleeding down all the reserves and the cash that the entity has. So that's what precipitated the exercise with FSU. I would love to snap my fingers and have that completed tomorrow. My hunch is it will take longer because of all the sign-offs and everyone that's got to be involved. The good news is both presidents of the universities are behind moving forward on this, and I'm working with their legal counsel at both FAMU and FSU right now to try and move this forward.
Okay.
And it would be great if you had an opportunity to come do a tour of the new lab space. It's really going to be
spectacular. It is.
So this is going to be a real different-looking entity with this fantastic thing to operate, but we're not going to have $1,000,000, $2,000,000, or $3,000,000 in reserves.
Yeah, and that $200,000, $300,000 we show at the end of the year, September 2023, is presumes we don't get a deal done, and at that point we're running on fumes, obviously. And so my hope is that we will do it before then.
And we have one other asset that's just a piece of raw dirt.
Doesn't cost us anything on Eisenhower, correct?
17 acres, I think.
Yep, which probably has some value, but it probably also requires a phase 2. We can get anybody interested in.
But you said there's an older building that
all of them are older than we own.
This is the best building we currently own. Yeah. We have a little teeny building. We've got 65,000 feet next door, some of which is leased. A lot of the tenants, frankly, is FSU.
Okay.
FSU is so that's, and then the College of Engineering is very interested in this building. They are running out of room. They're going to build a third building, but they need office space for professors they've already hired. They need lab space. So everybody on both institutions is very excited. And if you go around the country, the overwhelming majority of successful research parks are really fully integrated with the universities, not with local government.
Yeah. So what's your hopeful timeline?
My hope is that I get everybody signed an MOU early December, and that it'll probably take 6 months to close. Really, we won't do a purchase agreement per se. What we'll do is we'll just get an MOU, and then we'll race to execution. It'll probably get broken into three pieces. The legacy properties, and when I mean those, I mean the existing old buildings, probably can go pretty fast. There'll ultimately be a purchase or an agreement transaction with FAMU, with Florida State, and then the lab, because it's not finished, I've got EDA funding, there's pieces to come in. We got an appropriations through TCC for $1.5 million for furniture, and we're buying audiovisual equipment, IT infrastructure, laboratory equipment, autoclaves, mass spectrometers, those kinds of things. That's gonna take a little longer. For those elements, as well as the working with the Economic Development Authority, who advanced us $13 million towards that lab. So that piece will hang out there a little bit longer, but my hope is really June 30 to have all of it. Again, I think the legacy properties go pretty fast, but that may be Pollyannish on my part. I'm used to the private sector where we sometimes can move a little quicker.
They need it.
They want it. They need it.
Yeah.
They have a use for it. They're all, I mean, the interesting thing right now, both universities, frankly, people internal to the universe are fighting over who's getting space. So that's good for us. That's good for us that they're still interested.
And they both of them have mechanisms to fund this type of operation. We do not.
And they're in the new VP of research, Stacey Patterson, and she just hired a new person over going to be over commercialization. They're all in on the incubator concept and taking advantage of the intellectual property that's developed every year at Florida State that they have not done a very good job of. And the concept behind the lab is to really leverage their IP, the private sector, to turn it into products, turn it into jobs, turn it into investment. So that's the mission. Our mission of the lab is really what they want to do with the lab. So it's probably more than you bargained for in the investment advisory meeting agenda. It wasn't on the agenda, but I'm happy to share that.
Well, but we want people to start knowing that this is what's going to happen.
Right.
So I'm very, very glad you're here today. Okay, well, I think that takes us to anything further you want to say about the budget?
No. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. That's the same budget, obviously, that we shared at the board meeting that it was approved.
So let's go ahead and talk just specifically about this reallocation of investments. So we've got it on the record.
Yeah, and again, I think I already mentioned most of that, but basically I've already moved $245,000 from SPIA to Prime. My expectation after getting approval from exec or the board, wherever I'm supposed to, I apologize, is to move the balance of SPIA into Prime as quickly as I can. That's the reallocation.
So do you see any downside to this? I mean, the only thing I can say is all the eggs are in one basket.
Right, I mean, we have four. If you look at that policy, we have four options. Flidget, we could have been in there. There's a couple different ones. These are certainly reasonable ones for us to have been in. And if interest rates were normal, I might drag and use Prime first, but I'm still going to have to liquidate SPIA to get to the cash, and I'm going to have to ultimately ask them for relief. I might as well do it now when I have no benefits, frankly, of being in SPIA. And I don't anticipate, let's say 5 years from now, if we had a bunch of cash, some of those entities, the Prime and SPIA, both limit how much you could put in or get back in. Frankly, I'm not worried about getting back in.
Yeah.
So I might be forfeiting our access to it later, because a lot of them let little entities like us stay in because we were already in.
Right.
And they capped you at how much you could even have. They're not going to let you go add $10 million anyway.
Right.
You were capped out at $1 million. So there's other options that would meet that need if we circumstances required it.
Okay.
So does the authority eventually just go away?
We don't know what the answer on the authority is. The authority still has a mission to do the things it's supposed to do, economic development, recruiting, connecting organizations with resources in the community. Now, there's a lot of overlap with OEV and the chamber, but what will be the big driver of that, frankly, is if the authority is able to go secure funding and grants beyond what the reserves they have when we get this other deal done. But absent doing something, we're guaranteed to run out of money by the end of next year, early part of 2025, end of 2024, early part of 2025.
Yeah, I think there's plenty for a development authority to do, but figuring out, what that is and whether it's the right thing to go after these grants and, private money.
I didn't know if FSU or FAMU, I don't want to say there's a power play, but do they want to have more of the control?
They will.
Yeah.
They will. We want them to. How about that? We're not fighting them.
Remember,
the biggest player out here already is FSU. It has 100 of the acres. Between FSU and FAMU, they have over 100 acres of it. We've got, if you just want to parcel a map out for you, there's about 45 acres of roads and ponds. The roads are owned by the city. And then we have the RDA, the authority has about 50 acres left. 30 of it is leased for the remaining 50 years of our lease to Dan Foss and to Chip Hartung's Avalanche property. Our revenue off of that 30 acres is $1 a year. Those were the deal, predates me. Those deals were cut a long time ago, and they probably had great economic benefit to our community, whether that's Dan Foss. However, they gutted the revenue sources of the RDA, of the authority. So we're left with 20 acres that's got old buildings on it that do not cover their costs, and then the new lab, which is really, the lab is truly the gem of what's out here, and we need to make sure that the lab gets to whoever runs the lab is in the best position to make that thing be successful. If we go in like we are, we can't maximize that for our community, and that would be a failure, in my opinion, of the authority to not make sure that thing gets to in the right hands so we can maximize the impact on the North Florida area.
But it's a good question that you ask, because in terms of those of us who are just out there in the community, the first question is going to be, why does FSU get to just do all this stuff, and what is the real benefit to the community? So there's going to be a lot of coordinating and informing, and I truly think that this is what has to happen, but it's going to have to be talked about and made successful.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. So that's the update. Is there any new business? Thank you, Peggy, again for keeping us on track. We have now had our November meeting.
We're current, we're active, we're back to an active status, how's that?
Okay, there being nothing further.